Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, 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 and welcome back to this episode of the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. I'm so excited to be joined today by Grace Oller. Grace is an absolute phenomenon. She went from social worker to full-time property investor, and she represents and advocates networking and property. Those connections, that saying, your network is your net worth. She's a property investor and she's built up a portfolio of over £2.5 million. Welcome to the show, Grace Oller.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie. I appreciate that.
Well, we met at the Property Strategist event where you were talking about the developments you do and your opportunities to work with you going forwards.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I found it so inspiring. So I could not wait to say, come on the podcast, come on the podcast. Because I know how much people get from hearing other people's story from ordinary to extraordinary. I mean, I think we're all extraordinary, whatever we're doing, especially the social workers. Yeah. But some of us then find that knowledge and go on and do extraordinary things. And you have certainly done that and are such an inspiration.
Thank you.
So I want to start off with, let's go back in time again. So you were a social worker. Yes. And I would love to know how you went from there, being a social worker. And we all know or can guess that that is a tough gig.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
to becoming a full-time property investor. So take us on that journey.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So I did social work for about 10 years. Firstly, before I got into social work, I had rubbish grades. So I failed GCSEs. So I just about scraped into doing a social work degree because I literally was begging them. So eventually I got onto the course and then I went into child protection specifically. So I did that for 10 years and I actually knew the first couple of years that this wasn't for me. And I remember being at work and there were people that had been there for like 25 years, 30 years. And they said to me, and I always hold on to this, that Grace, once you're in social work, you can't get out. It's hard to get out. Once you're in, you're in. And I remember thinking, because I already had plans, thinking, oh, I'll go. And I didn't even know what I was going to do, but I knew there was an exit strategy. So I held on to that. And I just couldn't believe that that was their mindset. And it wasn't one person. It was at least four different people that said that to me. Once you're in, you're in. So that alone, especially with the problems, when I say problems, I mean like the challenges, the high case loads, the stress and not being appreciated, I just realized that, you know what, Grace, you have to do everything in your power to exit, to get out, because it's not something I need to be in long term. So when I had my second child, I remember making a promise to myself in maternity leave that I wasn't going to go back to social work. I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I just remember that promise, Grace, you're on maternity leave now. You're not going back to do social work. So at the time, my husband was doing something similar, like data engineering stuff. And he said, oh, I think you'll be good at business analyst. I had no clue what that was. But he just said, look, there's this number. Give them a call. They can train you up. I did it. And lo and behold, went into business analyst, which I did for 3 years. And then from that, I went into property. But go on.
I would just want to draw something out here because we had a quick conversation before we started rolling. And yeah. What I loved is you were so strategic. You had that intention. You made that promise to yourself and you delivered for yourself. Now, tell us about the benefits of going from social worker to a business analyst.
Okay. So you're going to like, you love this part, don't you? So the benefits is that it's more money. Firstly, there's flexibility, but it's more money. So I've been able to double. I think I'm being humble by saying double. it's more than double my salary from social work to business analyst. And with business analyst, I was able to be a contractor. So I did a lot of contracting roles, which meant that I can command more in a day. Can I give example? Am I allowed to say like?
Yes. Yeah. I think people would love examples. I know people get
money and stuff, but listen, but yeah, so I went from maybe earning about 2K a month to earning about 5,000, 6,000 per calendar month, which worked out to be from 550 to about around over 600 a day, pounds a day. So it was a no-brainer for me. I didn't know it was going to be that much of a jump when my husband said, do it. I just thought, well, I'm getting out of social work for one. And he said it will be more. But it's when I started applying for roles that I realized, hold on a minute. So it was really rewarding. And that's what actually helped us to save for more of our properties as well, put down more deposit, get to our property goals quicker and faster. Because when I changed jobs, my husband also changed jobs as well.
And he went up in salary as well.
He went up in salary as well. But Stephanie, there's something I should say, and I don't know if I'm out of it now, so whether I get in trouble or not. But we were so hungry to succeed in property and to build our property portfolio that I, at one point, did four jobs at a go, four business analyst jobs. So you can imagine that income, one income times by four, was what was coming in. And of course, it wasn't sustainable, but when you want something, and this is what I learned, when you want something, when you desire something so much, you would do whatever it takes healthily and in a good way without breaking the law and all of that to get there. And that's where I was at, because I knew I needed to leave 9 to 5 eventually, but I wanted the property cash flow to replace what I was getting. And that's what I thought, Grace, if you want crazy stuff, you're going to have to do crazy things. And that's what I did with my two kids and all. So for me, when people are like, oh, make it, I'm just like, you know what? If you really want something bad, you'll do whatever it takes to get there.
Oh, my gosh. That's why I had to have you on the show, Grace, because there's people listening right now who are social workers, or they've got another job, which is very stressful, they hate, where they feel underpaid, undervalued, etc. And it's just shown people, I could get more income. You don't have to start in business. You can do it in employment. Yes. And you can go from being in a very stressful role to being in a less stressful role and have more income. It's just crazy how it works.
Absolutely. It's the opportunities are there. It's in our faces. But we just don't want to take the risk, or we overthink it, the fear, and we just stay stagnant. But if you're not going to grab the opportunities are not always going to just come to you like that. So choose your hard. It's always going to be a hard. Choose which hard you want to do.
I love it. So you saw that opportunity. Your husband said a word, oh, you could be a business analyst. So you were just on it. But before we move on to the next part, I was just intrigued when you said you called this number and they said, hey, we'll train you to be a business analyst. And I just want to let people know listening, I thought of business analyst financial services, but actually no, Grace was doing this also for local authorities. You're a business analyst for local authorities.
Absolutely, yeah. All for councils. Yeah, nothing else.
How did you get this training then? How did that work?
Yeah, okay. I don't even know if I could say their name. I don't even know if they're still running or stuff. But I think my husband was recommended this training, not for himself, but I think he was just saying, if you know of anyone. So it was a course where they themselves have been very successful in their career as business analysts. And they also trained people in project management as well. So the training was literally like 3 days. No, it was about a week or 2 weeks, something like, I can't even remember. I remember going into London at least twice a week, three times a week to get this training. And then when you finish, you would do like work on a project. So it will be hands-on experiences and all of that stuff. So that was it, really. That's how I did it. And then I started applying for jobs. Lo and behold, I got it.
And doubled your salary.
I doubled, more than doubled.
More than doubled. Yes. Kind of quadrupled, but that's because you're a bit crazy. So
yes.
But even somebody just doing the one job could double. Yeah.
It's good enough. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that.
Okay, amazing. So you're there living large in your business analyst role, making 5 to 6K a month, working more than one contract, flexibly from home, or were you working in the office?
Well, before COVID, it was going into the office, but that didn't last too long. And then it was from home, which made it easier to actually manage a few more contracts.
Ah, anyway, that's how you got to do so many.
HMRC, don't come for me.
Yeah. right. Okay. Moving on. So then you're doing that, right? You bought a buy-to-let when you were a social worker, but you never carried on. You just bought the one, which is how most people roll. And yes. Then tell us what happened. How did you go from there? You're working all these business analyst roles. How did you get into property?
Okay. So then after we bought our first buy-to-let, I have to say that when we bought that, we had already bought our first home to live in as well. So we were ready to move into our forever home. So we bought somewhere outside of where we lived, and we realized within a year, we bought a 5-bedroom house to live in as a forever home. But within a year, we realized that we had made a mistake because it wasn't actually the home that we thought it was going to be. We didn't have, you know, when you get the keys, especially to a home that you're about to live in, there's excitement, there's joy. We got the keys, we're excited, but when we opened the door, there was a level of sadness that just came upon us. Instead of joy and jumping up and down, we were so deeply sad. And I think it's because immediately we knew that this is not it. Yeah. And I think in hindsight, we rushed that purchase. We rushed. And there were so many reasons why it shouldn't have gone through. There was even the seller pulled out, but we were begging the seller, no, we want it. So everything in us was saying, this property is not for you. But we ignored the signs and we pushed through anyway. So when we got the keys, we realized, yeah, this is not us. So we lived there for about a year. And the reason why I say it wasn't for us is because there was so much work that needed to be done, which we overlooked. We think the house was staged when we got there. Anyway, I'll move on from that. So what we did is within a year, we converted that property into a buy-to-let, because we knew we didn't want it. And then we went into another home, which is a 2-bed bungalow. So we actually downsized because we wanted the land. Anyway, so that then added to our portfolio, that 5-bedroom house. And as a result of that, and me doing the extra jobs, as well as my husband's salary increase, we started to save more and we started to use that money to invest up north. So we went into Blackpool. We bought a couple in Blackpool. We went into Sheffield. We bought some blocks of flats as well. So we just realized that we were beginning to be a bit more cash rich due to the jobs that we had. And that's what we did, basically, as well as taking equity out from different properties, including the one that we had to buy more. So we were just trying to look for money everywhere just so that we can increase our property portfolio. Any spare money we had, property we went into.
This is so rich, Grace, in every sense of the word, because you could have been, both of you, in these better jobs, or maybe you were in your first jobs. Yes. But you could have been like many people are. The money comes in, the money goes out, the money comes in. Maybe you've got a bigger house, maybe you've got a bigger car, maybe you go on 6 holidays a year, etc.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, you made more money, you downsized initially.
Yeah.
You converted to your first buy-to-let. Yeah. Then you started continuing to make the money and using it to invest all over. So what I want to highlight for you is that there's lots of different ways to fund deals. You might not be in a high-paying job like Grace and her husband were. However, you might be able to raise funds from other investors, as we've had other guests talk about. So whatever your situation, there is a way to succeed in property. So carry on, Grace. You talked about you've got your money, you've started investing up north. Take it up from there.
Yeah, so started investing up north. And then by the time you know it, cash flow was coming in. And our goal was always, we want at least a minimum of 10K cash flow profit every single month. But when we said that, we thought, okay, it's going to take another 10 years, 12 years, or whatever, we'll just keep going. So we just kept on going, not even realize how much cash flow we were getting. We just knew that it was going into a pot. Until one day, my husband said, you do realize that we are almost very close to our 10K. And I was like, what? So I think because we were such in a grinding stage of you got money, this money, or even if you may get a bonus, boom, property, let's use it for that. Or this house has gone up in value, let's take the equity out and use it to recycle. We just kept on doing that, that we didn't even realize that, hold on a minute, you guys are getting to where you said you want to. So that's how it works for us. And actually, that's what afforded me the opportunity to say, you know what, business analyst, thank you very much. I've worked, I've grinded, I've given you my all, I've had sleepless nights, but it's time that I park this now. And even I was shocked that I did it so soon because I thought it would be years. But I think we were just such in hustling mode that we didn't even know that we were actually clearing the way for ourselves, you know? So that's how we got to where we are now, really.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so good. And now you help other women who might be where you were when you're back in social work, didn't have any idea about what was possible. You might have thought you could buy a buy-to-let if you save up for 5, 10, whatever years.
Yeah.
And then do it again in another 5, 10 years. But talk to us about, maybe give us a case study of somebody you've worked with, what their situation was before and how you helped them.
Sure. You know what, so it's interesting that you said women, because I've only had to come to that realization that I am called to help women. At first I was like, no, I want to work with men and I don't want to close the door because I grew up with just brothers. So I'm used to just working with men. And sometimes I feel like, no disrespect to, I know nowadays there's women, there's he, there's they and all sorts, but I felt that some women, their energy level, I felt like sometimes a lot of the ones that I worked with, there was, I don't want to say excuses, to them it's genuine, but you know, the kids, the this, and that used to actually frustrate me. But I realized because I am different and actually I know that they can do it, I am genuinely called to those women to say, hey, you can do it. Don't make the excuses. There's always a way you can make time. So it's funny that you said women, because I only just realized that a couple of weeks ago that actually women are the people that I am called to. So, and it's the first time I'm actually vocally admitting it, to be honest. But so I do help women, and these women are mostly professionals. So they have good, you know, job. I had a good job. Sorry, I don't mean to do that, but I thought it was a good job, you know, so that standard social work, maybe accountant, all of that stuff. And they're not into property, or maybe they just have one and they've stopped there and they're like, what next? So one of the women I worked with, she's actually an accountant, and she came into my program knowing a little bit about property. You know, the people that I get is, oh, I've always dreamt to get into property. It's my dream. And you're like, okay, so what are you doing about it? You know, but they always see it like 10 years, 20 years. You're like, no, babes, now, make it happen now. So she was one of those. And through my program, I heavily speak on networking. Something that I actually missed in the beginning of our journey was that the reason why our eyes opened initially into property was because someone my husband was working with said to him at work that, oh, this is not my only income, you know, I've got 10 properties. And he was like, what?
What?
You got 10 properties?
10? Who, you?
He said it so randomly. So I'm just going to play. Ooh, that this is avocado. So there was something on there before someone said, is that? Anyway, sorry, it's a bit.
We can't even see anything. Hey, okay. Listen, so it's when you see ordinary people who you just like, this is just a colleague. I know this person. This is not a property magnate. 10 properties. So, what? How? Where?
So he was sitting next to my husband. My husband's like, I thought you and I on the same level. I thought we were just trying to figure this thing called life out. But he said, no, this is my 10 properties. And he showed my husband there and then a spreadsheet of the list of his properties, how much he gets. That was the eye opener for my husband. And as a result of that, he then came to us and said, came to me and was like, look, we got to do this. We got to blah, blah, blah. So, and through that, that person actually said, start going to networking events, etc. And we did that. So for me now, this is what I teach, because as we started to progress in our property journey, we've realized that a lot of people that have come our way has actually helped us strategize our property portfolio. So I know there are investors out there that do just rent to rent or buy to let. For us, we do it all. If the numbers are right, we never say no. That's what we've learned. Never say no. If it makes sense, why not? So I teach women about the importance of networking, because it's about, firstly, adding value to other people. Unfortunately, my experience is a lot of people go to networking events. Here's my business card. And actually, by the time you get home, you've got like 20 business cards. And it's like, you don't even remember who's who. And you lose the meaning and the focus. So for me, I teach on basically adding value to that person. So it could be, yes, you're a social worker or your accountant. How can you help another investor, especially if you've got finance background? How can you help them? Maybe you've got some free time where investors busy with their, you know, with their portfolio, or they're having difficult tenants. Could you do some research for them as to who can help them out? Whatever, just add value. So that's what I teach. So this lady in particular, that was the foundation of what I teach, as well as the different strategies. But anyway, through networking, she managed to secure 6-bed serviced accommodation. At first, she thought she knew what strategy she wanted to get into. But I always say, never, ever focus on the strategies. Yes, the strategies will come, but learn about how to relate with people first. Learn about how to learn from other people's experiences. Learn to add value. And naturally, those strategies will fall on your lap because you are the asset first, right? And if you don't know how to be an asset to someone else, it can be difficult for you to actually acquire that asset. Whether it be a rent-to-rent or service accommodation, you're going to have to build a rapport with that landlord. But if you don't know how to communicate, you don't know how to actually add value to that landlord, where are you going? So I really heavily teach on that first. And then once you understand that, automatically the strategies, the properties will come. And a lot of people don't get that at first. They think it's cliche. They think it's boring. They think, no, just teach me this. But when they actually listen to my advice, they realize that actually this stuff does work. It's just a different way of getting into property. But they always end up with a deal anyway.
I love it because actually it's the mindset, and the mindset of having something of value to offer, of being able to be an asset to other people. I like the way that you're putting it. I really, really do. So that's very powerful. And I think people do downplay how important it is. But if you think about it, property is often classed as a people business, but every business is a people business. You have to get the hearts and minds of the other person and offer them the opportunity and get them attracted to the opportunity of working with you, rather than sort of coming across desperate, needy, or wanting to take something you're coming over. So yeah, it is hugely powerful. So thanks for sharing that. And I think you might have covered kind of the biggest mistakes that you see people making, or women in this case making, when it comes to property investment. What would you say there?
If I'm honest with you, I think the biggest mistake that we make is self-doubt and not believing in ourselves. And that actually is the number one thing that you need, but is the biggest mistake that people make. And because of that, they just stop there. This is why they don't take action. This is why their vision or their dream of being into property just remains a dream, because they haven't dealt with the roots of self-doubt, believing in themselves. And also as well, I feel like, if I can say this, but I think mostly predominantly within the Black community, a mistake is that we do not seek mentorship at the appropriate time. We unfortunately like a lot of freebies, and there's only so much freebies can get us. So we may go onto a free webinar, we may listen to stuff on YouTube, and we think that's it. And we stop there and we try to execute. But we don't realize that this is just some nibbly bits. And we don't realize that the people that are giving you the information, they're being strategic because they want you to pay more to get the real substance. But we are trying to be clever by saving money, listening to free stuff, and execute. And I think this is why we don't progress the way we need to progress. So I believe, firstly, the mindset is crucial. Saying affirmations to yourself, I am successful. I can do all things. If I can be a bit biblical, what I say to myself is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a property millionaire. Money chases me. I don't chase money. I am a magnet to money. And it sounds so arrogant, but if you believe you are a woman of substance, or even a man of substance, you need to confess these things with your mouth and your mind first, and your heart, in order for them to manifest. Once your body, your mind believes it, automatically you start taking action because you've trained your brain to say that I can do this. Okay, if I can do this, what do I need to do to get there? Second, again, is mentorship. You have to pay. You've got to pay to play, right? For yourself, Stephanie, you do all sorts of great stuff, program courses. People that are trying to get rent to rent, they need to pay for your service so that you can really give them the meat because you've been there. So be around people that have done it and that can show you the way. And I think that's what we don't do enough. Mm. And I also feel like collaboration. We don't work together enough. We do not work together enough. Unfortunately, again, if I must say, but what I've noticed within our Black community is that we can be secretly competitive. We don't want to collaborate fully in comparison to other communities that I've seen do it very well, and they are really thriving as a community and as individuals. But I think we need to learn to say, you know what, you've got the skill. How can you help? Or even refer. People come to me and say, oh, something rent to rent. I say, okay, I know a bit, but I don't know too much. Go to X, go to Z. I know that they do it, and I'm sure and hopeful that they'll be able to. But a lot of us will keep that customer for ourselves and be like, okay, fine, I'll teach you this. But there's no harm in just delegating to somebody else to help them out in business. So I feel like those are the three mistakes that we make in property.
I really love that. I love the way you put it. It's concise. It's mindset, mentorship, and collaboration. And I totally agree with you on all three items. And the thing is, when you attain somewhat success, obviously, like everything in life, everything is relative. You're still working on, or I'm still working on mindset, mentorship, and collaboration. I'm still moving forward in the mindset. I told you, now I see myself as a businesswoman. When I first started, I did not see myself as a businesswoman. Every little thing scared me, but I still moved forward. I had to become who I was meant to be. And that process is still in operation. And, you know, we were talking, I've recently updated my car. It's on Instagram.
I bet that was a big thing to post it for you as well, right? To show the world that you've done this for yourself.
Yeah, and my mind is still catching up. I'm still having to consciously expand my mind to the new reality of driving, you know, a sports car that previously I didn't even realize that my mindset was not there. It's only when now I've got it, I realize it feels uncomfortable somewhat. I'm excited, obviously, as well, but there's a part of me that feels uncomfortable, and I have to grow that part of me. Otherwise, I'll retract back to where I was before. Yeah. And that's the same for people moving forward in property.
Yeah,
there are elements of them that are scared to move forward. Their logical brain wants to move forward and it's excited to move forward, but there's inner restraint sometimes that holds them back. And that is where the mentorship can really help.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody is there showing you the roadmap, holding your hand, showing you the way, showing you how to overcome obstacles.
Absolutely. Because we're not meant to be doing this on our own. We're not designed as genuine human beings to be working on our own or in isolation. And that's what I struggled with, because I had a lack of trust with other people, and especially within our community. Can I trust them? Are they out to? But I had to learn that regardless, Grace, you cannot be doing this on your own. You need people to get to where you need to get to. And that's something I had to accept. So it's just the same for anyone that does want to get into property. You need the right mentorship. You have to.
Yeah, totally. And we were actually just saying there are elements of our business now that we're growing. You're going to be focusing on LinkedIn. I'm going to actually be doing some work on Instagram, which I have no idea how to do a strategy and things like that. So I'm now working with a mentor, and when you get to a certain stage, you want to find that mentor and put the money, because you realize that the value you get back is much more than what the money you paid.
You just said it right there. Absolutely. The value you get back is much more than the money you pay. But a lot of us are holding on to the money and we're not growing financially because we don't want to invest. You have to invest in yourself. It's the only way to progress. Oh, that rhymes there.
Make your money, make money. You know what? Every time you speak, I want to clap my hands and sort of perform and say, yeah, point right there. Let's go on then. We've talked about the biggest mistakes. We talked about the case studies. One thing we haven't talked about is I asked you earlier, why is Geesland Homes called Geesland Homes? So talk to us about that.
Okay, yeah, okay. So it's really interesting. Well, is it? But yeah, so when I realized that I wanted to take this property business far, of course, you know, the legalities open up a limited company, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, to my husband, we need a name. And it was just like, he looked at me like, oh, duh, no brainer, just call it Geesland. I was like, what is that? It didn't register. So he said, so my name's Grace, of course. I've got two children, Ivy and Ivan, and my husband is Stephen. So he's just basically taken all the initials of our name in the family and just made it up and said Geese. And I was like, oh, and then he just said land. So I was like, oh, okay, land, obviously, because when you think of property, you either think of building or you just think of plot of land. So he just said, okay, Geesland. And I was like, all right. I didn't argue, didn't bite. And I was like, okay, cool. So, and it actually made me think how so many of us, I mean, if I could go back, I'd probably do something else, but it's fine. It's what people know me for now. But it made me feel like how many of us get stuck at that, what's my brand, what's my name, that it's not actually a big deal because you can always change it. But then some people just, it grows on you, right?
Yeah.
So it literally was a 5-second conversation. It wasn't a paper brainstorm. It was like, Geesland. I was like, okay, let's go. So yeah. That was it, really.
Well, and I just want to say, if this is resonating with you, if you're a woman and you want to get started in property, or maybe you've already started, but you've stalled and you want that somebody to show you the way and how to take it up to a multi-million pound portfolio or how to move forwards more quickly than you would be able to do on your own, then check Grace out. She's at Geesland Homes. It's, as she just said, G-I-I-S. Land Homes on Instagram, and she is Grace Oller on LinkedIn. Is that right, Grace?
Yes, correct. Yes, Grace Oller on LinkedIn. Yeah.
And if you're watching on the Rent to Rent Success website, it's at renttorentsuccess.com/178. And on that page, you'll be able to see it on the screen, and in the show notes, you'll be able to see the link to Grace's Insta and also to Grace's LinkedIn. So Grace, we talked about a lot of things today, but what I want to sort of wind things up with is, what are the secrets to success? You've worked with a lot of people. What do you see in the successful ones that you would like to share with us?
Oh, I love that question. Okay, for me, I see discipline. Mm-hmm. So these people, they're waking up early. They are not feeding into their emotions. Something that I learned quick is that, you know, just because you're not feeling too good or you're not in the mood or you're not having a good day doesn't mean you stop. Yes, give yourself an hour or two rest, but you still have to execute. You still have to do something. So I've seen discipline, because people that are successful in property, they put their feelings and emotions aside, and regardless, they show up, they turn up, they do what they have to do. I've seen consistency as well, because I've also learned that it's not everyone, especially when you start, they're going to clap for you. And that could be the stage where a lot of people fumble, because they're waiting for the applause. They're waiting for people to give them a pat on their shoulder. Well done, you can do it. But half the time, no one does that. They're just looking, they're watching, and they're thinking, how long is this going to last? So I've noticed that you have to be consistent regardless throughout the journey. Even when they clap for you, don't let the praises get to you. You keep moving, you keep executing, and you keep aiming high. Because that's a mistake that people make. When they get clapped and the praises come, they stop at that level because, you know, they feel like that's it, they've arrived, but you've never arrived. So discipline, consistency, and there was something else as well that I had in my mind. But yes, the people, the circle. I never understood when I used to see successful people, and especially people that I admired that I do have access to, but I don't have access to, if you know what I mean. And they would only let a few people in, and I would try and knock and knock and knock to get into it. But for some reason, they just wouldn't open the door. But I realized that these successful people, they guard their circle. They guard their circle because they have to guard their mind. And I think that in order to reach the level that you desire, you need to be very intentional about your surroundings, your environments, the people that you let in. And there's different types of circle. You've got the inner circle where it's deep stuff. These people are pouring into you. They're telling you that you're the greatest. There's nothing that you tell them that they'll say to you that it's impossible or anything like that. They're even going to tell you, think bigger. That's not big enough. And then you've got the ones where the family, the friends, you know, they know what you do. They don't really get it, but they're like, okay, keep doing what you're doing. And you've got the outsiders, the outer circle, where they're just looking in. They're thinking, when are they going to fall? What is she doing? What? So I've been very intentional about my people around me. My daughter asked me the other day, Mum, who's your friends? And I almost cried because I was like, But I know those, there are just a couple. But even those, it's still, but you do have to be, and that's because I did that intentionally, because I've got big dreams, big goals, and I don't want anyone to infect that. So those are the things that I would say is be very, very guarded. It's really important. I think people underestimate that. Just because you've been friends with someone for 20 years, you did this together, you did that, it doesn't mean that they're going to where you're going to. That friendship was valuable, but sometimes you have to say, is this what I need right now, where I need to
get to? Absolutely. And as people, humans, we find it difficult to do that, difficult to let go. But one of the things that I heard one time, because I do agree with you, is you can let go with love. Just because you're not seeing that person any further, you can still love them from your heart, in your thoughts, when you see them randomly at different things, you can still love them. They're not on the same journey as you. They're not on the same path as you. But you don't have to be seeing them 24/7 or every week or whatever. Course. When they're poisoning your mind with, that's not going to work, that's not going to work, that's not going to work, why are you doing that? You've changed.
Yeah, that's common. I don't understand that saying, you've changed. And that's when I know that, okay, maybe this direction, because why would somebody say that? And they're not saying it in a positive way.
No.
We all know what that saying means. You've changed. So that's when you know that, you know what, I haven't got time. I don't know, is it resentment? Is it, I wish things were the way before? But people that really want the best for you will say, girl, you keep going. I don't really understand this property stuff, but I see you're showing up everywhere and this is good. I love it. Keep doing your thing. Those are the ones that you think, you know what? They've got your back. They don't get it, but they're... So you have to recognize those people and label them so you understand how to, you know, position them.
And the right people inspire you. As I'm speaking to you, every time you speak, Grace, I feel, oh yes, that my mind is going off. There's so many different things I could feed into.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that has just come up is you've got to be your own biggest supporter. Because sometimes, especially as women, we complain, this person's not supporting me, that person's not supporting me, I can't move forward because this person isn't supporting me. And all the time, we are not supporting ourselves. In our own head, we're putting ourselves down, we're saying we can't do it. We've got to consciously think, I'm my own biggest supporter. No matter what happens, I got my own back. And yes, it's great if we've got other people that have got our back, but we are showing the other people how to treat us when we support ourselves and when we got our own back as well.
Absolutely. And I think on that note, sometimes we have to have a season of stillness and quietness and aloneness where actually people are not there. People stop calling us people, because that's where you start to value yourself. That's where you start to have those deep conversations with yourself. You love yourself. You start to affirm yourself. So then when the people come back in, like I said, regardless of the praises or not, you know who you are and you continue to execute. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of us women, especially, we don't have enough time to spend time on by ourselves where we just deal with our stuff and just, you know, affirm ourselves and just grind by ourselves, because we're always looking for affirmations from other people. Like you said, if we don't say it to ourselves, why should we expect anyone else to believe in us if we don't believe in ourselves? So,
yeah. And it's a journey. It's been such a thrill having you on. I just love the inspiration that you give me. So I just want to say, if you're watching or listening, if any of this has resonated with you and you think, I need a grace in my life, I need some grace, then go over to Instagram at Geesland Homes or at LinkedIn at Grace Oller. Connect with Grace, because she's a phenomenal woman. And as you've heard today, she can really help you move forward with your dreams and your goals. So as we close out today, Grace, give us one thing, one inspirational thing to leave our viewers and listeners with.
Good question. I would say there's no time like the present. If you have those dreams, you have those goals, this is the time. Unfortunately, we are in a season where things are getting worse. We're in an economy crisis, things are going up, and all those dreams you had years ago, you need to start pushing them to the forefront. If you're unsure, of course, I'm here. Even Stephanie, if it's rent to rent, that's your thing. Just get somebody, get that mentorship so that you can start making the steps towards your dreams and goals. Because unfortunately, you don't do that, no one's going to do it for you. So it all lies with you. So just do it. Feel the fear. And what I always hear is feel the fear and do it anyway. My favorite saying.
That is a brilliant way to end today's session. To get the extraordinary, you have to do that to have an extraordinary life. So until next week, have a great rest of the week. Thank you so much, Grace Ola, for joining us today. And thank you so much for joining us and being here with us today. And remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer. See you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rent to rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent to rent HMO book and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.